When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat. And boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
All right, on today's episode of Nothing Major, first of all, happy Halloween. Happy Halloween, everyone. We got Paris memories, a new segment of who we would sit next to on a flight. We got a little chart with some seats, some tennis horror stories, some bad tennis memories from us in honor of Halloween. And we are going to do a candy draft. We did a candy draft last year. I think we did best candies. This year, we're going to do the worst candies. So let's get going. All right, everyone, welcome back. I got John, Jack, Stevie, myself, Charlie Fox, and the suits at SIFT. Big Friday. Happy Halloween, everyone. As you guys know, sometimes we do life advice on this show. We're going to start with life advice, but life advice of one of our own. Let's go down to Stevie J. Give us your life problem that you have right now, and the three of us are going to try to help you.
Yes. You know, the life advice segment has been so popular. People want more of it. But they want it from us. Like, we all need life advice as well. And I think this is a perfect forum to debate. And I need some positive, potentially positive or negative feedback. I briefed Sam on this a few days back. But as you guys all know, I'm having a third child that's due imminently in the next, 6 to 8 weeks. And my wife wants to get a minivan. And she's adamant about this. And I like the Tahoe. And I just can't stomach the fact that a minivan might end up in my possession. We have one right now because our car's in the shop. So we rented a minivan. Like, I'm trying my best to get there. But my ego and my heart tell me that I'm such a loser. I command zero respect. Like, getting out of parking lots, nobody lets me in when I'm trying to turn. Like, they just look at me and they scoff because I'm in a minivan and I just can't get there. But the girls love it. My wife loves it. I just can't get there and I need help.
Would you predominantly be the one driving the minivan or to be your wife, Kendall?
It would be my wife's car for the most part. But, like, you know, as you guys know, like, the duties get shared quite frequently, like,
yeah.
Like with the drop-offs and the, you know. So right now I don't even have any car seats in my car. My wife has all the car seats. So, like, you know, when I do pickups and drop-offs, whatever, like, I'll take my wife's car to the school, then bring it home and then get my car, right? Like, but the girls, like, my daughters love it. They love pressing the buttons, the doors. Like, I get it. Functionality is at, like, an all-time high with this vehicle. But I can't stomach the fact that when I opened my garage the last week that there's a minivan in there and I have to drive it.
Of course you get the minivan.
100% get the minivan. Stop being
minivan.
So vain.
Hey, yeah.
Thank you, John. Stop being so vain. Get the minivan. Who gives a crap what you look like? You're there for those things. They're safe. They're comfortable. They're economical. They're easy. Your kids like it. Who are you trying to impress? Who are you trying to impress?
Me. I'm just like, why can't I just drive the Tahoe?
No.
It's a hard no for me, Stevie.
Thank you, Jack.
Kendall has a Tahoe now?
Yeah, the Tahoe would be gone and the minivan would be in.
Tahoe is awesome.
It's not really a lateral move from Tahoe to minivan, but
yeah, it's a downgrade. Is it not, John? Look, I'm going to go with a guy that has four kids.
I wanted a minivan, by the way. My wife said no. So,
man.
She's you in this situation.
Good for Maddie.
I say get the minivan, get the safest one there is.
Are they not all safe? They're a minivan. They go like 48 miles per hour max.
I'm team minivan here.
Same. We get them every time we get a rental car. It's a minivan. Get the minivan, Stevie.
Yeah.
So, but, like, I also don't feel like I can go to, like, Kia and, like, negotiate.
Guys, look at my assistant just brought in. Oh.
Wow. Which assistant?
My wife.
Oh. But
I'm just thinking about the first time that you guys have to, like, swap cars for, like, car duties, and then you get called to go play, like, a sick round of golf, and you got to pull up to your country club in the minivan. That's just going to be tough.
Well, I can't drive.
Again,
like,
don't be so vain.
You can't.
Who cares?
This is why the Tahoe's. The Tahoe's just as practical, just as
and
much,
look,
like,
Kendall
looks
tells
way better.
Me, Kendall tells me all the time, she's like, the worst part about a minivan is the 5 seconds that you have to walk up to it.
I disagree. I've never seen someone drive a minivan and think, oh, loser. Not one time.
Same.
Have I ever really? Thought that. I look every time and I'm like, oh no. My God, that dad has just.
That's crazy. Yeah.
No heart.
That's crazy.
All right. Take that advice and do what you want with it. We're going to talk tennis now. I think you're getting a man.
Yeah, probably.
Paris is going on this week. And like I said, in honor of Halloween. No, sorry. I'm not doing that yet. I'm doing Paris is going on this week. End of the season Paris. We got two Parises. We got Roland Garros Paris and we've got year end Paris. As we know, the year end one now has moved locations to that giant. I forget what it's called.
La Defense Arena.
Yeah, there you go, Stevie. It can hold like 40,000 people.
It's huge.
And there's courts in it. So you can hear court to court what's going on. Let me go to John. Do you find at that tournament, it's the last tournament of the year, usually. I know there's one more 250, but it's the last real tournament of the year. Is there excitement in the Paris Masters Series? Or do you think there's more, guys are ready for the tournament to, or the season to end?
I feel like there is excitement, especially with the fans. I find the fans at the Paris Indoor every bit as passionate as the Roland Garros fans. I really do. Like, they come on and they cheer on their countrymen. Like in full force. Yes, there are some players that probably want to get home and are a little bit roughed up and done with the season, but we've said this before, I'm a huge fan of this tournament. I've always enjoyed it. It's a really good one. It's one of my favorites. It's like my outside of the Master Series events in the United States, this is my favorite Master Series event.
I feel like that's why you always did well. What, Stevie?
I just can't stop looking at you. You're just smashing like pancakes. Breakfast.
I got to eat them while they're warm.
I know. I'm just laughing. I'm sorry. I can't keep it to myself.
I always felt this tournament, like, not that the locker room had a weird vibe, but most of the guys were just, like, ready for the season to end. And if you could lock in, John, like, you did well at this tournament a bunch of times. You know, it was a good opportunity. But I don't know. It was – I feel like Paris this time of year, it was always – it's obviously, like, colder. The sun's going down early. Guys were ready to get out of there. Do you feel more that way, Jack?
I always thought that this tournament, only the strongest won it. Survival the fittest at the end of the season. Whoever had the most heart played to the last whistle.
That's it.
No, I'm gonna stay with John. I always enjoyed the fall Euro swing. I always thought that tournament was like cozy and nice. You could, especially when you had the hotel there, you could just walk to like dinners and the movie theater right there, all that little like area with everything. The courts were really close. So I always thought it was a comfortable, laid back event almost for such a big tournament. And yeah, I feel like if you were potentially, you know, more into it towards the end of the season, you could have some good results, obviously barring a good draw, maybe stuff like that. But you could definitely see some guys getting crispy and wanting to get home. End of the season, but also guys that wanted to maybe take advantage of big points. And
it's an overrated time of the year. Like, who goes to no tourist books a trip to Paris in October?
They're wrong. Because that's when you should wrong. book a trip to Paris because there's less tourists there. It's the best time, and it's not freezing. Yes, you need to put on a jacket, but it's not, you know, negative.
Paris in the spring, dude.
Like no that. Way, dude. Paris in the fall, way better. Way better.
Stevie, did you ever have a good Paris moment in the fall?
Yeah,
besides stuff on your face at that Five Guys after you lost?
Incorrect, sir. I would never go to Five Guys. That was never for me. But I don't know. Like watching the new place, like it doesn't look as good as the old place. Like I get it. It's like this massive, giant ballroom – or not ballroom, like conference center or whatever that has four courts just separated by tarps. But like I miss the old venue, quite frankly. Like it was way more intimate. It like just, I don't know if like the feel like watching this event, there's like the stadium's huge. Like they're so far away from the course. Like there's just these black tarps everywhere. But yeah, like the tournament itself was like awesome. Like I was always crispy beyond belief. Like I was deep fried and then deep fried again quite mentally. But I like the city. Like I love practicing doing that like 8 a.m. hit, right? Like John and I did it many times. Like we hit from like 8 to 9, 9:30 and then be done for the day. We would just cruise around. Like you'd have all day. So I like the tournament. I never did well there, but I like the tournament itself. I don't know about the new venue, but generally I would say, yeah, you're right. The guys are pretty crispy and it just like guys just want the year to end unless you have like you know, a top 30 ranking bonus or a, you know, top 20 ranking bonus or something. Like, guys are not, you can kind of see it in their eyes that they're ready to be done.
I agree with you though, Sam. Like the locker room though was definitely like a little more like mild. Everyone was talking about preseasons. Where are you doing preseasons? And
where are you going?
Ready
what,
for the Maldives.
What resort? Yeah, what resort are you going to in the Maldives?
Yeah, where are you starting next seasons? Like,
the only thing about that. Where are you going on holidays?
Holidays.
Why? It's not holidays. It's a vacation.
Totally. Thank you. We need to address that. Why does the European, continent holidays. Say that? Because there's also a holiday. Like, what do you call a holiday then? Like, what you're celebrating a holiday?
What do they call Christmas?
Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
They could probably call it Christmas vacation and then everything else holiday.
We got one of our guys, producers in the chat is European. He's like, we call it Christmas. Christmas is a holiday. Like, it's crazy.
It's vacation. When you go to the Maldives in November, it's a vacation. It's not holidays.
This is what I want to know. In Europe, is the word vacation not a word then?
Relaxations.
Yeah. What does vacation mean to a guy from London?
They've never used it. Never once.
But it's wrong. Then why even have it in your language?
We can make a point, Sam.
Deep dive down to that another time. All right. Speaking of off season and where you would go on vacation, we're going to do a segment. Who would I sit next to on a flight? So people have seen these, you know, there's like options like, oh, we got guys, pictures of guys on seats and the images here. If you're watching on YouTube, we're going to put the image up. If you're listening, we've got 10 options. Right. And there's rows of three and each row has an empty seat. Like the first one, for example, it's Andy Murray, Nick Kyrgios, and then an open seat. The next one would be an open seat, Tsitsipas and Federer.
There it is.
There it is for the viewers on YouTube. Audio, I'll describe as we're going. But there's 10 options of seats here for a flight. We're going to start with Jack Sock. Which one of these seats are you taking? And then again, for the audio listeners, I will tell you who he's sitting next to, and then Jack can describe why he's going to sit in the seat that he chose.
So I am going to, there's really only one option for me, and it's number one. Because I have to be in an aisle seat. I feel claustrophobic in windows. I hate them. And obviously middle, I'm going to need a hip surgery after that. So one is a good option for me.
So let me just describe it real quick. Like, he's taking seat one. That's Andy Murray on the window. That's Nick Kyrgios in the middle. And then Jack. But then right behind him is Fed, also in the aisle, who's probably going to be annoying you, you know, kicking your seat and stuff.
Yeah, and right across from me is Rafa as well. In the row
you got
over,
Rafa
so
across from you.
I got two of the greatest of all time next to me. I got, Nick, we'd have a fun time. We like similar movies and stuff, so I'm sure we'd watch some Avengers or something.
You guys could like simultaneously start the movie, laugh at the same time, moment.
Maybe share earbuds type thing.
All right, that's a good pick. Let's go to John now. Which seat are you taking?
Most definitely not one like Jack. I'm out on that.
Yeah, he had to take that little.
I'm going seat number 9 in the aisle beside Fonseca and Alcaraz. That's an easy choice.
It's a good seat.
Obviously, I'm giant. I can't do middle. I'm actually okay in the window. I thought about number 8 in the window beside Sinner and Fritz, but number 9 is speaking to me. So I'll be in the aisle beside Fonseca, who's in the middle, and Alcaraz is in the window.
Fritz in front of you, though. Any chance he reclines the seat? Does he seem 100%. Like that kind of guy?
He does seem like 100%. A seat recliner.
He's a recline guy.
For sure. He's playing his video games. He's
good
always
point,
back.
Sam.
Not paying attention of who's behind him. He doesn't have the big guy behind him. And he just like,
that's a good point. I'm still going with 9, but Fritz seems like a seat recliner.
Yeah.
That's a
big time seat recliner.
Yes.
All right, Stevie, where are you going?
Can we pick the same as a previous member?
You cannot pick the same as a previous member.
That's just frustrating then. Cause I was going to take number 9 with John. I think that would be an unreal row. With Fonseca and Alcaraz.
Fonseca, too, he's young. He's probably going to respect his elders and let Isner kind of slide the right leg over, get a little more room.
Correct. You're absolutely right on that.
He seems like the opposite of, like, not that Fritz is, like, the nicest guy, but Fonseca, middle seat guy, he's going to tuck the arms in, not take any armrest either.
You did a whole rant on this. Middle seat guy has no rights.
Has no rights, exactly. All right, Stevie, where are you going?
I'm going to go with seat 5 next to Casper and Holger Rune.
You're taking a middle seat?
I'm taking a middle seat because I was going to take 9, right? Like, But John already took that one. I'm taking five, so I can strictly talk golf with Casper for however long this flight is. And Holger, you know, I don't know him that well. I may have never spoken to him, but he doesn't seem like a guy that's going to be like outwardly like wanting, you know what I mean? Like pushing me to like get out to like use the restroom. So I feel like you can kind of just tuck Holger in the side a little and like not really worry about him.
Yeah, but when he does have to use the bathroom, he's got to go crutches, cast, everything now.
Yeah.
You just got to focus on Casper. You can talk golf. That's it. Like we'll break it down.
All right.
You know, so that's kind of my thought process. I know the middle is not great, but I think Holger, like I'm using like my left leg is like, you know, under his seat, right? Like I'm using
short flight. You go middle.
Yeah.
All right. I'll go. I thought about seven for a second in between Francis and Ben, but they're just going to put headphones on and not, we're not going to chat.
Yeah. That's what went through my head.
Give me number eight. I got Sinner on my left. I got Alcaraz right behind me if I want to chat with him. Shelton in front of me seems like a non-reclining seat guy.
Are you just, reclining the seat into Carlos? Or are you respectful?
No, respecting Carlos. I'm not. Okay. I'm not a seat recliner. But that just I'm in a good little pocket there at number eight with a lot of talent around me. All right, let's reverse it now. Where do you not want to sit? I'll go first. We'll snake draft it. Number 10, middle seat with Monfils. And Bublik, there's a lot of weird back there. You're the last row.
That was my next yes.
I don't know what I'm, it's too unknown. Too unknown with those two, what I'm getting. So I want no part of number 10. Now, Stevie, where are you not sitting?
I mean, I'm not going to sit at number six. I can't do it. I can't watch Rafa like twist his like Coke can and like water bottles all flight. And then I can't listen to Chapo like write raps. I can't do it. I'm a window guy, but like I can't.
Hey, Stevie, what do you think of this bar?
I can't do it, man. Like he's going to ask me to like spit a couple lines with him and I'm going to just be out. Headphones on and I'm out.
All right, back to John now. Where are you not sitting? I think we already know.
Yeah, I'm going to keep it at number one, but after further review, the correct answer should probably be number three, but I'm going to stick with number one.
Why not?
Being beside Riley in the middle. Obviously,
why would it be three?
14 feet of dudes in one row.
Yeah, but you got Peke in there next to you.
You
can really spread out.
You make up feet there.
Yeah, exactly. So we're actually all even, you know.
You could ask Diego to switch seats, and then Diego could just lay across you and Riley.
I'm still sticking with number one. You know, I don't know what you're going to get from Nick. He's either going to just put in the headphones, not talk, or he's going to talk my ear off. It's one or the other.
Yeah, could
be
annoying.
I'm going number one.
All right, and finally, back to Jack. Where are you not sitting?
The hate from Iz is crazy there. I'm going to definitely go with, I mean, three, four, or five is all a disaster. Just give me... give me five. I mean, honestly.
Wow, that's where Stevie wants to sit.
I know. Three, four, five, and six are all just horrendous. But yeah. Or, I mean, four, I feel like Medvedev just going to like curl up in the corner, do his own thing.
I mean, how much limb is there in row four with those guys? They're just like.
Wait, who are you? Jack just picked three, four, five, and six, and then back to five, and then also back to four.
I mean, honestly,
just choose one.
Just choose one.
He's not trying to make anybody angry right now. He's got to just pick one.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with. I'll go with four. Then I'm not doing four. I'm not gonna
four.
Be in the middle.
Middle seat. That's tough. In between Medvedev and Zverev, couple big guys. It's a tough seat.
I feel like Medvedev would be like come sit on the flight like post match, no shower maybe. like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he'd be so pissed off after losing, come straight on in like the full Lacoste get up and still have his court shoes on, sweaty socks maybe. Alexander's going to be probably talking a lot. Yeah, I can't do that.
Medvedev seems like the guy that comes with the clay on the socks.
Yeah.
Like from Madrid to Rome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. I'm out. That was, have you guys ever sat next to like on a flight anywhere? And sat next to a player, like randomly, you're going from place to place. You're like, oh, hey, man.
Yeah.
Who?
I don't know, like some random European. Like, you're talking about like when we were playing tennis, right?
Like if you went from like Beijing to Shanghai and you walked on the flight, you're like, oh, hey, dude.
Yeah, it's always just, you know, hey, how's it going? You know, you're not going to strike out more.
It's true.
If it's not, the person's not American, that's.
Hit him with the tough one this week and then on the next tournament.
Yeah, the suits missed Novak on this flight. Where was he?
Yeah.
I'm not going to go up to like to Jaume Munar, like nice guy, be like, hey, what's he doing? I'm going to see if I can switch, you know? Great guy.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. All right. That was good stuff. All right. Now we're going to move on to tennis horror stories in honor of Halloween. We're going to go our kind of like worst memories on the tennis court. Could be juniors, could be pro. Who wants to start this? Anyone?
I could. I mean, mine's like a...
All right, let's go with Jack. Give us a little tennis horror story in honor of Halloween.
My horror story, I was new at the academy, or not new, well, yeah, new-ish. I was younger in Kansas City growing up and running in after school into practice, like through the tarps, dropped the bag. You know, like, I don't know, way back in the day, those pants that had the buttons all the way down the side, you could do like the old school gym pants. Yeah, I was rushing to get there because I was showing up late and we always like ran if we were late. Consequences, dropped my bag down, forgot to put shorts on underneath the pants. Thought it'd be a cool move to run in, do the full like whip off, get straight onto the court. Flew those things off, just had the underwear on underneath. Like as I started running out to the court.
Were you like a whitey tidy guy?
It wasn't as bad as whitey tidies, but I don't think it was a great day for the undies. And yeah, just started, but like started running out to the court, didn't realize that like there wasn't anything there for about like 5-7 seconds. So then had to go back to my bag, in my underwear, grab my shorts, run down to the bathroom, come back. All the older kids laughing at me, all the girls making fun of me.
That's pretty bad.
Type of thing. So,
and those rip-off pants are hard to put on. They're easy to take off, hard to put on.
So time consuming.
Yeah. So probably got them at TJ Maxx the day before. Thought they were slick.
All right. That's pretty. Is anyone here own a pair of whitey tighties? By the way, I feel like Isner might.
Isner,
there's a guy that wears them here. It's you, dude.
Are you serious? We did a whole thing about how awful they are. Now the Europeans love them. Like, come on.
I know, but I'm just saying, if one of the four of us were to consistently wear them, it's John, right, guys?
Like, way, dude.
You
no
give
way.
Off those vibes. Look what you're wearing right now. You got a whitey tighty shirt on.
I might give off those vibes, but no way in hell do I wear whitey tighties.
Stevie will be in the minivan soon.
Yeah, I'm going to go minivans and the Air Monarch soon. I'll tell you guys all about it.
Which one of the four of us is most likely to secretly wear whitey tighties? Let's do a poll. Isner wins that.
God, you guys remember we'd always get the laundry mix up at tournaments? Get like... Like some like colorful, like they're not whitey tighties, right? But
you get like a Fabio Fognini little like Euro undie.
Yeah.
Emporio Armani, like striped.
Yes, it's always Emporio Armani.
Striped little.
Yeah. I mean, your whole, the rest of your laundry is completely ruined at that point.
It's ruined. You throw everything away.
If Fabio Fognini's Emporio Armani whitey tighty has touched any of your clothes, you got to toss everything, even if it's clean.
So true.
You got to toss it.
Gone.
All right, that's a horror story in itself. All right, let's go to Stevie. You have a tennis horror story?
Yeah, I mean, I guess if we're going like, for me playing, I have to go all the way back to 2014. John was a part of this, and it was my DC event that I played. I made quarterfinals that tournament, but it was a tough 72 straight hours. I didn't play one point on return. I played John, 29 aces. I played Karlovic, 27 aces. Then I played Raonic, 16 aces. I didn't play a return point for like 72 hours. I just walked left to right, deuce to add. I won two of those matches, but still like horrible tennis. Like I just played. And the next match would have been Kevin Anderson. So like I just have played like I was just I just don't want to go back to that returning week. Wasn't strong.
Back-to-back bot is brutal, but back-to-back-to-back, potentially another back is not fun.
It was just like a tough week, right? Like, and I just don't want to go back to that week.
John?
Sam, you were a part of this story. I think I will say the match in 2010 at Wimbledon was a nightmare to be a part of, and I won it. But I'm not going to go into detail of that because everyone knows about that match. Sam, when you took me out in the 2010 Belgrade final, right?
Yeah.
That, you got the trophy right behind you.
Yeah.
There it is. So I was serving 6-3 and 5-4 serving, and I choked flat out, got tight. Sam played a couple good points, blah, blah, blah. I ended up losing the match, three sets, clearly. That was going on at the time when they had that volcano erupted in Iceland. Remember, Sam?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I was a little annoyed that I lost that match. We had to go to Madrid next. You took the early flight to Madrid. Me and my coach, Craig Boynton, decided that I should maybe try to sleep off the loss a little bit and take a little bit of a later flight. Well, we get to the airport in Belgrade and all the smoot and the dust from the volcano was all everywhere. Couldn't get to Madrid. We were stuck in the airport in Belgrade for 5-6 hours. The only option was to fly to Barcelona at like 9 p.m., get to Barcelona, have to share a hotel room with CB, one bed, and then from Barcelona, the next morning, mind you, we're playing in Madrid. And so I'm sharing a bed with CB, who, by the way, Craig Boynton, wears tidy whitey.
Oh, for sure, he's a tidy whitey.
He does. He does.
Oh, no.
Dude, I put him on blast, okay? And then so we had to spend the night in this horrible, like Barcelona, like motel, like right by the airport. I also weirdly remember like getting our bags at the Barcelona airport and someone had this bulldog and it's like these like, you know, you're on the floors and the bulldog took like a big leak on the floor, but it was like kind of clear, right? So you couldn't see it right in the middle of everything. Oh. There's all these people walking by. This lady walks by with her bag and slips a banana peel on it. I don't know. I always remember because I was so far away. I saw the dog take a leak and I see this lady banana peel on some urine that you couldn't see on the floor. I just never forget that moment because I was so annoyed. It was maybe a bit of levity at that moment. I was laughing a bit, which is kind of cruel. But anyways, spend the night, have to get up the next morning, take a train to Madrid, like a 3-4 hour train at 8 a.m. and have to play that same day in Madrid in the afternoon. So tired. I bought the good seat and I needed to sleep, right? So like the seat in front of me was empty because I think I might have bought two. And the train conductor kept coming by and knocking my foot off because I was putting my foot on the seat to sleep. And he kept coming by 5-6 times. And when I would fall asleep, he would knock my foot off and tell me I couldn't do it.
Oh, love that.
That was a horrible story. And it started with choking to you, Sam.
Yeah, no, I remember you going through that random volcano that canceled every flight like all across Europe for like 48 hours.
Yeah, exactly.
It's tough. CB gets put on blast there, but hey.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry, Craig.
He's catching strays for no reason.
Was it a Euro twin bed or was it?
No, it wasn't. I forget what it was. There was no separation, right? It might have been a little bit wide, but there was zero separation. You know how they do it in Europe.
Yeah.
Sure do.
Wow. All right. That's brutal. Mine's probably pretty obvious. It's back in 2009 in Bangkok, Thailand. I think I've talked about the story on here. There was a tournament in Bangkok, and the day before the tournament, I was practicing. After practice, went into the locker room, showered. There was nowhere to sit in the locker room, but there was a glass table there. So I put my my pants on, my shirt on. Then I sat on the table to put on my shoes and socks, glass coffee table. The coffee table kind of held steady for 20, 25 seconds. And then, boom, I fell through it, got up, and there was a shard of glass sticking out of my arm. You can maybe, guys, can you see that? Like, you can still see the scar.
Ugh. Yeah, yeah.
Like the size of... almost like an iPhone, you know, like shard of glass sticking out of my arm, blood spewing out like a fountain. It goes all over the walls. Luckily it happened at the tournament. So I ran down. The tournament doctor was, you know, 50 feet down on the left, ran down. There's blood all over the walls. I looked at the doctor and I'm like, excuse me, like, I've, you know, got an issue here. and then, yeah, like, you know, had to remove the glass, get in the ambulance, go to a hospital in Bangkok and have emergency surgery, sliced right through the skin, right through the muscle, missed the nerve by a millimeter. If it hit the nerve, I probably would have lost use of my hand. But then was luckily it missed it. And then I was out for the next 3-4 months. But that's a legit horror story.
That is a legit horror story.
And the corridor, like in the Bangkok tournament, looked like a murder scene. There was that much blood spewed on the walls. Like the wall was like covered in blood. It was nuts.
Yeah. You're forgetting the fact that I had to play a match like right after that happened.
Yeah, thoughts and prayers to you, man.
Yeah, thank you. Thoughts and prayers to me. I had to go take the court after seeing this. But in all seriousness, I was like legitimately worried about you. I don't like.
Yeah, no, I know.
Heck if I know, you went off. All I knew is that you went off in an ambulance, and I was taking the court at like right as you went off in the ambulance. It was crazy times.
It was nuts, but yeah, luckily I was okay and was able to come back. But yeah, still have that nasty, like the skin right here, my arm was like open like this. So when I flexed, you could just see the inside of the skin and the muscles moving.
But wasn't there like a world renowned surgeon that just happened to be in Bangkok at the time that helped you out?
Yeah, we drove an extra hour to like a private hospital, and there was this Thai Australian doctor that helped me. Like I had to wait for him to get out of surgery with someone else and like waited in the emergency room for him to finish, to have like emergency surgery that could sew up the muscle, sew up the skin. It was gnarly. That is my horror story.
I remember Sam sent me the picture of his arm and I was like, that's the grossest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was gross. I wish I had a picture of the corridor in Bangkok. You would have thought someone was brutally murdered.
Like The Shining.
Yes, exactly. I've never seen The Shining, but probably like that, I'm assuming. What you guys think is the worst one? Mine's got to be the worst, but...
Yeah.
Speaking of The Shining, what is the... you guys have a favorite scary movie? I have none. I hate scary movies.
I don't do scary movies. One. I cannot stand them.
Stevie, too. John, yeah. Jack, you guys scary movie guys?
Too satanic for me.
I mean, yeah, they're satanic. But like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, like the original?
That's such a whitey-tidy guy thing to say.
There's a new show on HBO about Pennywise, that, you know, the movie It. Now they're doing a series on It.
That doesn't interest me at all.
There's no reason to watch that stuff.
I kind of like scary movies. My wife hates them, so I really never get to watch them. But
why don't you watch them with the kids on Halloween?
No. It's a little guilty pleasure of mine. It's like scary movies.
You did like a long flight. Do you pop like a scary movie on a long flight? I feel safe with people around. That's the only time I've ever done it.
Yeah. I feel safe. The comfort of the people right next to me.
And it's a day flight, you feel safe. Like,
yeah. You just like one of those long flights to Europe. I was like, I know I'm good. I got people around. Nothing can happen to me here.
So like sometimes I'll pause the scary movie and turn to a sports game that's on just to kind of break it. Like, oh, this is not scary at all. Yeah, I like scary movies.
I didn't know that about you.
I don't like scary movies.
That's funny. I'm gonna read a couple of these just before we get into our candy draft. These were our fans submitted a few of their scary stories. My favorite one is from Armin Besto. I had to watch Isner Opelka live in Dallas.
Dude, someone wrote a comment about 11 hours of Isner Mahout, and that was hilarious. This match was worse.
This was Riley a four-fight fest.
In Dallas. Yes, it was, of course, two tiebreakers. We played one of the tiebreakers. It was the longest tiebreaker in history. It was...
But there was nary a point won on return. There was only one point.
I had a set point on serve.
You did?
I didn't know that. 6-5. I was up in early mini break and held on to it until 6-5. And then from that point forward, it was...
Okay. I thought I remember reading there was like 0 points won on return and be like 24-22 with like, you know.
I had a set point on serve.
Oh. Let me read one more. This Chase Bell. First match of my junior year, full body cramps and had to be carried through the lunchroom to get to the trainer's room to get electrolytes and massage. Just to add, I was up 6:40, had to retire. Also, my parents were out of town, so I had to Uber home. Never cramped since. How are you up 6:40 and cramp?
We got to ask Sinner.
That's brutal. But like at school, like being carried through the lunchroom and whatnot. We're going to candy draft. Worst Halloween candies, and you cannot repeat.
Yeah.
We're all going to pick three. These are the worst candies offered on Halloween. The draft order is John, Stevie, Jack and myself. The suits put that draft order out. I don't know why I'm last, but.
Third slot's tough. You don't get the back to back. You got to wait.
Isner, you get the number one pick, worst Halloween candy.
Okay. This is everyone's, I think we all agree on this. It's candy corn.
Oh, yeah. Jack does not agree. Jack's a weird dude that
Jack loves
it.
Candy corn.
Yeah.
From Nebraska.
Okay. That's a good point. Candy
Do you
corn
actually
is
like it, or are you just like from Nebraska? So you, I feel
yeah,
obligated to say
no.
Like
I'm saying the Nebraska thing bit just because the Cornhusker State. But I like candy corn for like I could eat candy corn for a few minutes, but it's not like it's not like repulsive for me. But yeah, it gets old after a little bit, but it's not like repulsive.
Okay, yeah. All right, that's a proper pick though. Candy corn, Stevie.
Candy corn was definitely my number one pick, but it's raisins. People give out raisins.
What?
Dude,
what
go
the
around.
Hell?
Dude,
what are you talking about?
Manhattan Beach.
No, just let. Dude, he's not going to redo. If I don't get a redo on Monday,
fine, anyway. People will
raisins?
Give that. And that's not candy. Do
it's not
give
a candy.
Out. But doesn't matter. People are giving it out on Halloween. So
raisins are delicious, by the way.
They're horrible.
Yeah. All right. What do you mind? What if we said
the
broccoli
number two
right
overall
now? What if we said broccoli?
We went with raisins.
No, but dude,
you did.
What'd you say?
Said number two overall pick, and you chose raisins.
Yeah, raisins. Don't give out non-candy on Halloween. That's my point. Don't do it.
That's
I would
the
love
worst.
Raisins in my bag.
Yeah, I don't mind raisins. All right.
It's horrible.
Raisins from Stevie.
Jack? Don't get it. It's not candy. I don't want it.
I'm going to go with circus peanuts. You ever had those?
I saw that last night when I was looking. Those are disgusting.
Great call, Jack.
A lot of people don't know what they are. They look, they're like soft. Why don't you know what's the texture?
They're like artificially made, like soft, like just look don't like ever. Peanuts, if it's a waste of money, it's a waste of time. It's a waste of a holiday.
Yeah. You don't see them often, but that's a great
it's a waste
pick.
Of a holiday.
That's a hell of a pull there, Jack.
Thank you. I put time into this. I put time into this draft.
Yeah, that's you're on the dark web finding that. all right.
Circus nuts.
I get 4 and 5. My number one, give me good and plenty.
Oh.
They're like purple and white.
Yeah.
They're, you know, again, you don't see them that often. They're shaped like a Mike and Ike or a
they taste like tamale. One of the picks I'm coming in with.
They're disgusting.
Yeah. That's a good call.
Yeah, my number two, Twizzlers.
Not good.
Twizzlers is disgusting. Licorice, pretty good. Twizzlers, I think, is awful. It's amazing how much better licorice is than Twizzlers, and they're so similar.
Are you serious?
You're wrong on that.
Yes, what? You're wrong on that.
You guys are Twizzlers?
Phenomenal.
Licorice is repulsive.
Black licorice is repulsive. Oh, red licorice is
repulsive. You can't be naming other candies now.
Hey, this is my bad.
Easy.
My bad.
Okay.
What is my pick? It's better than raisins.
Yeah,
give
true.
Me Twizzlers, my number two. All right, back Twizzlers to Jack.
Twizzlers not bad. Well, he just said like I was going to.
My bad.
All right, I'm going to switch it up to somebody else. I'm going to go with Almond Joys.
Yeah, bad.
Just, wait, do we all have that on our list?
Just if you're gonna indulge in that, I don't want coconut and I don't like nut. I don't like nuts in my chocolate. Like I don't. I just
they don't have nuts though. It's just coconut
like,
and chocolate.
Isn't it coconut and like nuts in it?
No, isn't it just coconut?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you say Jack said Almond Joy, correct? Dude, Almond Joy.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah, it is a good point.
But it's not like it's
such a whitey coconutty.
Call me out. See what I'm saying?
So is there definitely can we confirm there's an almond substance in an Almond Joy?
I'm pretty sure there's one almond in the top. Is there not?
In the top of the chocolate bar, like
They stink. They're horrible.
Yeah, don't want coconut, and I don't want nuts in there.
Good point, Steve. Right. I forgot that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just like, look, it seems too obvious, but like maybe I was missing something. Like, you know, the answer is right in front of you, and you just
the
like
the coconut
didn't get
overpowers
it.
The almond, though.
Correct.
It's too much.
Yeah,
it's
sure.
It's all too much.
All right, back to Stevie. If you give a vegetable, just leave the pod.
Hey, why don't you shut your mouth?
What do you
dots.
Got?
Dots are horrible. They're sticky. Like, you chew them, and they're just like, you never can figure it out. They're terrible. Dots. But they're an easy one to give out. They come in those stupid little cartons and just stop.
Yep. All right. Not bad. Not bad. John, you get 2 and 3 now.
Okay. Any variety of jelly beans?
Yeah. Horrible.
Just disgusting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a bad experience with jelly beans a long, long time ago. I haven't been able to eat them since when I was a kid. I can't stand jelly. There's a popcorn flavored jelly bean. Like just the thought of that is.
Dude, there's like 500 different flavors of jelly beans.
This one's going to be unpopular, but I really don't like this candy. It's another sweet one. It's Sweet Tarts. I can't stand them.
I like a Sweet Tart.
They're good for like 3, and then it's.
I can't stand Sweet Tarts.
I feel like when I was 12, I loved Sweet Tarts. Maybe now not, but. That's a bad pick. Sweet Tarts are neutral candy. I feel like not people don't dislike those. Bad pick. It's Stevie. Your turn.
It's been mentioned on here, but can I say black licorice is terrible?
Horrible.
It's horrible.
It's horrible.
It's just yeah.
There must be some people that like it though, because it's still
people like I
find its
that,
way
like,
around the town
that like love it, but like I think it's terrible.
They're horrendous.
All right, Jack. Final pick.
Final pick, I'm going to go with Necco wafers.
What?
What?
You seen those, like, the see-through tubes? They're, like, little, like, wafer circles that you get in your thing. It's, like, the cheap candy that, like, people would get in bulk. You ever seen these things?
Necco wafers?
Wafers? Is that what they're giving out in, like, Kansas City?
I'm just saying, maybe it's, like, a Midwest.
Early 2000s?
Yeah, probably then. Oh, it's, like, they taste like chalk. They're, like, a little, like, just, like, your mouth gets dry.
I'm looking this up.
Ah. You guys probably recognize the packaging, hopefully. For all our Midwest listeners, maybe.
I've probably seen it.
It's a thing, but I've never seen this before in my life.
It's not. It's a thing. They're gross. Jack's not incorrect.
I want people to let us know if you've heard of a Necco wafer.
It's an older thing.
It's like a wafer candy. It's like it tastes like chalk.
I want to try one now.
They've been around since 1847.
Have your assistant bring one in.
They have. That's unbelievable.
All right. I get the last pick. I'm going to go. You guys remember this one? Sugar Daddy?
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
It's like you put it, it would like rip your tooth out if you bite into it. It's like a caramely, like almost like a now and later. You don't see them that often, but they were literally are the stickiest, like they'll grab onto your teeth. But
yeah,
that's the final draft. You guys can let us know. We'll put this out and you guys can let us know who has like the best draft for the worst Halloween candy.
You think there's like dentists around like our respective neighborhoods are just giving out like the worst candy just to get more business?
No, our dentist, I might have said this on another one. If you return your candy to our dentist, they pay you. And wait, then they send it to the troops like overseas.
Huh. That's cool actually.
Yeah.
Wow.
Parents keeping the money or they're giving it to the kids in the piggy bank?
Probably piggy bank. So anyway, all right. You guys got anything else or
I like Jack's team. Circus Peanut was a great call. Alma Joy suck. Necco wafer is so obscure.
You got to be like a real candy connoisseur to know Jack's team. The Circus Peanut and the Necco wafer, you're deep into like the candy realm.
Yeah.
But those are great picks. Circus Peanut. That's
what about Werther's Originals?
Those are great.
Like
those are
good.
Yeah, but I'm saying like to give them to a kid. Like no kid wants that.
Yeah, it's an old person.
I was going to go with those, you know, those little Bitto Honeys things with the yellow and like blue like wrappers. Those. It's just basically just eating a blob of like honey. That was going to be our next.
Bitto Honey's like the sugar daddy. It'll rip your teeth.
Yeah.
Just out of your mouth.
Yeah. Your mouth's done for the day.
Yeah. All right. That's it. Happy Halloween, everyone. If you guys want to follow us for Nothing Major Show on YouTube, Spotify, Apple. We say that every episode. Like, obviously, like people know where to get it. Is that doing anything when we say that every episode?
I don't think so.
I don't think it does either, but again, the suits like us to do it. So
yeah.
Have a happy Halloween. We'll see you guys Monday.